Good evening, everyone. I want to say that it's blessed to be here in the house of the Lord, and I'm really thankful that I got off my job today so I could come here to be with y'all and hear the messages that we've heard, and hopefully you clean your glasses off, like Brother Noah said. So I did a lot of contemplating what I was going to preach about. And I decided, kind of like what Brother Noah said, I was going to different areas. And I said, you know what? One thing that I know is something we all need is the light of God's Word. So I titled the message, Let Your Light Shine. And we got plenty of lights here, so that's a good thing. And I wanted to start out with... The definition of light is something that makes vision possible. The Word of God gives us spiritual illumination. First of all, if you think about light, I was really contemplating this. I mean, you know, many, many years ago when we didn't have the light bulb, can you imagine what it was like? You had to have a candle and the room was mostly dark and you just had a little bit of light here and there. But now we have all this light. I mean, look at all these lights we have. We're able to see there's hardly any shadows, you know, except for from our bodies. But, I mean, we can see what we're doing and it's clear. Well, that's how the Word of God needs to be. The Word of God needs to be clear. And the only way it can be clear is if we read the Word, study the Word, and the Bible says to show ourselves approved unto God. And also, I would like to say that... Really, light is just interesting altogether. For example, we have so many items that have light so we can see. We've got our vehicles. I mean, if we didn't have headlights at nighttime, forget about driving, we'd be crashing into one another. Well, in the same token, if you don't read God's Word, you're going to stumble. And you will be crashing. You'll go crashing down, and eventually you'll just go to hell if you don't repent and start searching God, seeking after God in the light of His Word. So have you young ones ever probably read about a lighthouse? You know, you have a lighthouse, definition from the dictionary, a tower with a powerful light that is built on or near the shore to guide ships away from danger. Isn't that what God wants from us? God wants to use His Word as a light source to guide us from danger. Excuse me. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis chapter 1, of course. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. I thought about that verse 4, when it says He divided the light from the darkness. I automatically thought about God's judgment day. What is He going to do? He's going to divide the evil, wicked people from the righteous people. He's going to separate the wicked from the righteous. Hebrews 9:27 says, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And also as I read it, I was thinking, you know what? That includes me. I'm going to be judged. I have to think about what I'm doing. Every day I have to think about my actions, what I say, what I listen to. And honestly, the job I have, I will say, is I thank God for my job, but I have to go in the truck stop and I have to fill out my paperwork at the fuel desk, and sometimes I hear some stuff that I don't really care to hear, but it's like, I just go in and do my job and get out of there. I'm real nice to the people, but I don't participate in their jokes, and I made it clear, you know, when somebody tried to put me in one, and it just seems like that inevitably happens when you're out in the world. You know, if you're working for a worldly company, that's what you're going to get. But nevertheless, I don't have to fear because I have God's Word and I have a church home and I have people here that encourage me and that build me up. If I, and by the way, that's a choice right there. I've got to let you all build me up.
That's right.
I can't come in here and just say, oh, well, it'll work out, and have an attitude of, I don't really want to hear. I have to come in here purposefully and say, you know what, I'm here to listen to your word. Listen to God's word, listen to the preaching, and thereby I may grow in the Lord. Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be saying, Lord, Lord, I've done all these miracles, I've done... in fact, Brother Mark can probably attest to this when he was in college. When he was in Bible college, were there not a lot of people, Brother Mark, that were real gung-ho, and they were like, I want to be the best preacher, the best this and the best that. Have you ever heard any news about, well, they didn't go that direction, possibly?
I don't hear much about any of them, really. Right. I know there's a lot of zealous young men there.
Right. Well, you know, starting off gung-ho is, you know, I mean, if you're really desiring to live for the Lord and desiring His Word, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But the Bible shows it's the end of a life. Are we going to continue? Are we going to have that same gung-ho spirit throughout our Christian life? Well, we should, because otherwise we're not seeking the Lord. I mean, if we're seeking the Lord daily, we're going to desire the things of the Lord. And we're going to continue in them. let's see here. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. I didn't go any further, sorry about that. But 1 Corinthians 6:10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So God gives you a list of the type of people and their sins that will send them to hell. It's not like... you know, I mean, any of those one sins, if you practice any of those, you can pretty much know you're going to go to hell.
Right, right.
You can't be a fornicator and say, well, I'm a fornicator, but I'm not a idolater, I'm not a this, or I'm not a that. It's like, no. If you're any one of these are abominations. An abomination is something God hates.
Right.
It's not something He just says, oh, well, okay, I forgive you, it's all right. Now, unless you truly repent from that, which means to turn away from sin, by the way. Okay, so as far as light, we learned that a lighthouse is, you know, there's a light that shines out there, a beacon of light that shines out on the ocean at the shore so that ships can see it, so they can be aware of danger. And we need to continue to read God's Word and desire it and look at it as the light of God's Word and light, the light that guides us into everlasting life. I had permission from Brother Philip to say that I wanted to use his wife as an analogy here, and I had permission from him. Sister Carmela is physically blind, but praise God, she's not spiritually blind. Her actions show that she sees the light, and not just any light, but the light of God's Word. On the other end of the spectrum, we have Helen Keller. Was physically blind and spiritually blind because she chose to be just like everyone else that goes to hell because they chose their own destination. I mean, from what I've learned about Helen Keller, she didn't really acknowledge God too much. So, you don't want to, I mean, I can't even imagine being physically blind and spiritually blind. I mean, it's, what kind of life is it? But nevertheless, it's not going to lead you to life everlasting. Exodus 13:21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them away, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. That verse shows us that God wants to lead us. And the only way it can be led is by the light. Can you imagine if anybody knows, you're welcome to tell me, a specific place in Alaska that's supposed to stay dark for like 6 months, I'm thinking. I actually had some relatives that lived there. And I don't know, anyways, supposedly stays dark for a long time. I can't imagine even living in a place like that. But I don't even know how it could be done. But there supposedly is a place like that in Alaska. Well, so anyway, we can choose to follow the light as He is in the light. And as Brother Mark pointed out in his salvation book, which I listened to on the CD, and I was really remembering where Brother Mark was saying about Micah, I think, following the guide. Well, you have to follow the guide. If you don't follow the guide and you digress from the guide, you're never going to get anywhere with God. So, Ecclesiastes 2:13, "Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness." The more light your testimonies give, the more darkness you overcome.
Amen.
You can guarantee that the more light, the more you read God's Word, the more you attend church for the right reasons, the more you participate in whatever you can participate in, the more you uplift your brothers in the Lord, or sisters in the Lord, well, the more light you give, the more God's going to look down and He's going to smile. He's going to be happy that you're doing that, and He's going to do, there's nothing left for Him to do but reward you. He's definitely not going to be upset at you because you are digressing from darkness into more light each time. If you continue to digress from darkness into the light, then you're going to truly be blessed. And I believe that we have a lot of young people here that are honestly truly are blessed, and I believe that they're seeking the Lord, and they need to continue to do so, as we all do, as us adults do. But my prayer is that, you know, everyone here overcomes darkness with more light. Let's see. As we submit to God, we are losing the shadow of darkness. We are gradually being illuminated with more light or more righteousness. 2 Corinthians 6:14. "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" And by the way, that verse also applies to people that are looking forward to marriage. You want to make sure that the person that you're looking or considering at marrying is definitely a believer, which I know you all know that, but consider their ways, consider their actions, consider how they treat their parents. 2 Peter 1:19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Okay. I brought something here. I brought a flashlight. Okay. Okay. There's different levels of darkness. Or, I'm sorry, different levels of light is what I meant to say. Different levels of light. Does anybody want to be at that level? What if you were shining like that? Not much of a shine, is it? That would be pretty bad. You obviously aren't following God if you have hardly any light, barely anything in there. Maybe you're growing in the Lord. You're getting a little brighter. A little bit brighter. Your light's shining a little bit more. And then as you really mature, now you're really bright. A lot brighter. Okay? You're mature in the Lord now. Well, hopefully, we get to this point.
Amen.
It's so bright that you're about blinding people. Well, I just wanted to use that illustration that we are at different levels of light, truthfully, and we need to continue to grow in order for that light, in order to, for our testimonies to illuminate, which is our actions, will show that. Okay, another thing about light. There's a lot of a lot of physical things that light actually helps us with. Sun exposure, these are things I read, and it's just, there are a lot of benefits of light. Sun exposure lowers blood pressure. I could go into reading that, but I won't do it. Sun exposure improves bone health because it talks about vitamin D3, which we need from the light. It regulates calcium absorption. When you have higher levels of vitamin D3 in your blood, you are at lower risk of suffering fractures of virtually all types. On the other hand, lower levels of vitamin D3 in the blood are associated with higher rate of all types of fractures. This is why sun exposure is especially important for bone health in older adults. 3, sun exposure improves brain function. And like I said, I won't go on all the... Sun exposure eases mild depression, and that's actually a fact that they use what they call light therapy for people that are real depressed, that I guess instead of antidepressant. Sun exposure improves sleep quality. When sunlight hits our eyes, a message is sent to the pineal gland in the brain and production of melatonin, a hormone that makes us drowsy and helps us sleep. It shuts down until the sun goes down again. Your body gets a clear signal that it's no longer night, and this helps to maintain a normal circadian rhythm, which probably explains why, since I'm a night driver, I have a harder time probably going to sleep than most of you in here. It can happen, but I have to really kind of make it, work on it more. Sun exposure lessens Alzheimer's symptoms. Sun exposure heals some skin disorders. Sun exposure, children might want to hear this, boosts growth in children. This benefit is especially true for infants. Studies reveal the amount of sun exposure in the first few months of a baby's life has an effect on how tall the child grows. Many cultures around the world recognize this fact and expose children to mild sun to boost growth and height. Sun exposure enhances the immune system. It can help suppress an overactive immune system, which could explain why sunlight is used to treat autoimmune diseases like psoriasis. And since white blood cells increase with sun exposure and they play a key role in fighting diseases and defending the body against infection, moderate sun exposure is very helpful for your immune system. And number 10, sun exposure reduces risk of certain cancers. So those are just some benefits that we get from the sun. Why did I list all these? Well, a lot of them are facts that it does help us. But you know what? All this can help the body, but if you're not right with God, it doesn't do anything for you.
Right.
Because that right there will be all vanity if you don't live for God. If you're not giving your life to Jesus, it doesn't matter. You just help your body, but your body's not really here on this earth very long. Your body's going to go in the grave. Your soul's going to go to hell if you're not living for Jesus. So that's why I wanted to list that, because those are nice things to know, but the main important thing is to please the Lord. 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalms 48. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Are you walking in the light? Are we walking in the light? Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So as you can see, if we walk in the light, then the darkness won't have any effect on us if we're continually walking in the light. Luke 11:36, if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So, number one, aim to please the Lord. And then number two, the way we speak. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then there are those who hate the light. And we've all seen them. They're all out there in the world. You meet people that you try to witness to. Hey, do you go to church anywhere? Yeah, I go to Freedom Baptist. The name already tells it all, doesn't it? That means I'm free to do whatever I want to do. In fact, I go swimming next week with a group. After that, we're going to watch a movie and go eat pizza. And then after that, we're going to have a Bible study. Boy, if I guess the Bible study, they must think that it somehow negates the other things or does away with them. It doesn't do away with any of the sins they're committing. God is watching. Those that hate the light. John 3:20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
Yes.
So, we don't want to go there. We want to continue. We have a wonderful thing at this church. We want to continue in the light. And honestly, I really do praise God that it's really amazing if all of us adults that a lot of us moved from miles and miles away. And when you look back where you were, isn't it amazing how we've ended up here? I mean, I would have never thought that I would have been living in Missouri. And honestly, I still don't love the cold, but you know what? All I got to do is bundle up. And what better way to bundle up than with this? Okay. Another thing that we need to have in our lives every day, and honestly, I need to work on it myself quite a bit. You know, we need to pray every day. But what kind of prayers are we doing? Are we just doing these little prayers like, now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep, and then just like, hurry up and say it and be done. No, are we actually thinking about other people? Are we concerned about people in our lives? Are we concerned about, you know, brother so-and-so's got an ailment? You know, Lord, I'm going to pray for him. Sister so-and-so's got an ailment. I'm going to pray for her. In fact, I'm going to, you know, the ladies have a thing in here where they text each other. My wife gets these texts, you know, all these funny sounds come on the phone. I'm like, okay, who is that? And but you know what? There are usually sisters in the Lord that are always staying busy about God's work, whether it's about planning for the meals, like for tonight, or encouraging the Lord with a Bible verse, or just wanting to talk and see how they're doing. You know what? Those are great things. If we can encourage one another, then that's going to help us stay on that narrow road that God has put us on.
Amen.
Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Did you notice it says with thanksgiving? It's not going to help if we're not thankful for what we're asking God to, for what we're praying, for the requests we're making for God. I mean, we have to be really thankful. So every day, it'd be a good habit for us to think of things that we could be thankful for and verbally talk to the Lord about it. Lord, I'm thankful I have a job. I mean, there's times when my job kind of gets to me. It's like whether it's a lot of hours one night or whatever it is. But I always have to go back and say, it could be a lot worse than this. And God's got me a job where I'm home every day. And it's a blessing. And not only that, it's not really that hard as long as I ask him, you know, ahead of time, that I can get off a night like tonight. So, is there any reason why I should hate my job? No. I should love it. I should just thank God that I have it. I could be out there on the streets like some people are today. They don't have a job. Some of it might be their own doing. Some of it might not be. Psalms 145:18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. Read and meditate on God's Word. 1 Timothy 4:13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Are we reading God's Word? Acts 17:11. These were more noble, than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. It didn't say search the Scriptures monthly. It said daily. So, and I will say, I'm guilty of not searching them every day. There's some days that go by and it's not good. But I can't be up here and act like I don't have a day that goes by where I get busy and I just... But you know what? That's why I'm preaching this message. This is to remind me that I've got to read God's Word every day and desire it, love it, eat it up, and that way I can be blessed and have God's favor. So anyways, back to light. Light is used in many different ways to benefit mankind, but the most beneficial way we can use it is through God's Word. Psalms 119:105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Is it really a lamp unto our feet? When we read it, do we just... What about children? Do children read the Word of God because Mom and Dad said, hey, you need to read God's Word this morning? Okay, let me just hurry up and scan this quickly. All right, I read it, Mom, Dad. Or do you actually read it because you're like, Lord, this is what You want me to do. This is what You want me to become as a godly Christian. And so therefore, it's going to benefit me to take heed to Your Word, not just skim over it. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And by the way, I want to talk about reproofs. Reproofs really are the way of life. If you do not listen to a reproof, then you're most likely not going to get anywhere with God spiritually.
Right.
If you have a boss and he tells you, do this or that, and you totally don't do it, guess what? That boss is not going to keep you around. That might be your last day working, in fact. And so you'll never get anywhere. You have to continually be willing to take reproofs. And even if the reproof is something you didn't do, at least you can know if it was a good reproof. Why not just glean from it? Why not just say, you know what? That's something I need to do, even if I am doing it. Just continue to do it, instead of looking at it in a different way. Proverbs 3:23. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not... I apologize, but I actually didn't. When I went to copy it, I guess I didn't get the rest of Scripture. Sorry about that. 1 Peter 2. So now we're going to talk about... when it talks about the tares... Let's see. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. I'm sorry, I was actually wrong on that one too. Sorry. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which is disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and the stone of stumbling, and rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so that last word again, light. And it's not just light, it's marvelous light.
Amen.
If you continue to live for God, you will be directed in His marvelous light. Without light, plants wouldn't grow. Children in here, I don't know if they're learning about... have you heard of photosynthesis? Okay. It says here, photosynthesis is a process that involves plants using energy to convert carbon dioxide into food. So just like the plants absorb sunlight, we should absorb God's Word for our daily food. Do we desire God's Word more than the food that we put in our bodies? Light has many good uses. This was pretty interesting. Forensic scientists use UV, ultraviolet light, to see things the human eye can't see to solve criminal cases. In the same token, God will use His light to judge each and every one of us. So light can be used for a lot of good things. And great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Do you want to be that person that lets things devour you up? And when he sowed, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Are you rooted in God's Word? Because if you're rooted in God's Word, you're going to have the depths of the Word of God. You're going to be grounded. If you're grounded in the Word of God, you won't, those stony places will actually start, your road will start turning smooth again. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some in hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And also I wanted to say that as I was reading about different things about light, I think it said that light goes in, can shine into the ocean like 80 meters or 200 and whatever it equaled out to be, 220-something feet into the water. And then I proceeded to read about in the depths of the ocean, it's, you know, of course it's really dark. There's a certain fish called the angler fish. Anyway, it says that the fish is really hideous looking. And I actually looked it up and saw it, and it was definitely hideous looking. So, and it really made me think of, you know what? That's what Satan looks like. Satan represents darkness. And he is real hideous, and he wants to devour you. The Bible says he comes to sift you as wheat. He doesn't want you to take root in God's Word. He doesn't want you to be faithful. He doesn't want you to listen to the preacher. But if you always resist the devil, the Bible says he'll flee from you. That's good to know. May we continue to resist the devil. So the question is, my last line here, the question is, what level of light emits from you or me? I hope we are the ones that bring forth fruit and stay on the good ground. May God help us to stay grounded in His Word. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.